Amen. So I just wanted to start today and over the next few weeks share some messages about healing. Who finds the subject of healing exciting? Yes? It's always been a topic or an aspect of ministry that I've sort of always found exciting and in some way always been pursuing since I got saved in the mid-1980s. And so, yeah, it really is like one of my favorite topics, and I just feel that the topic of healing takes us right into the heart of Jesus' mission, because his mission was to save people. His mission was to save people from death and sin and oppression and sickness. And one of the major ways, if not the major way, that he demonstrated the kingdom of God in his earthly ministry was through the manifestation of healing. Because healing demonstrates what life is like when God is reigning. When God is reigning in the age to come, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no suffering, there'll be no pain. And when Jesus came and demonstrated the kingdom and preached the good news of God's kingdom or the good news of God's reign, he went around healing people wherever he went. And it's quite compelling to read through the Gospels and the book of Acts and to see how much the ministry of healing ran parallel to the pronouncement of the good news of God's kingdom. And you know, people do have a lot of questions about healing, and it's sort of not something that you can cover every aspect of course, in one service. But what we do know is when the disciples went around, Mark records at the end of his gospel, when they went around preaching the good news of God's kingdom, that the Father confirmed the word with signs following. And I've certainly discovered that the more we speak about God's healing power, the more it is declared and proclaimed and believed, the more healing takes place. Because the Lord confirms his word with signs following. So when we talk about healing and speak about healing and invite God to move in healing power, we can have a real expectation that he is going to break into our world and touch people's lives, and they're going to be transformed and changed. So that's the purpose that we would want to pursue a subject like that. And I remember like years ago we had a move of healing in our church in the inner city of Melbourne, and where Rhonda and I were pastoring, and we had this setup where we were running healing meetings every Friday night, and we were also running a ministry called Healing Rooms where people could come, I think it was on Thursday night and Friday morning, for prayer, for healing. So we had like these three time slots every week that were sort of focused on healing. And in that season, we saw this move of God where many, many people were healed, a large number of them from issues that were, not medically curable, such as cancer, hepatitis C, all different kinds of joints and back issues and these kinds of things. And I remember one night there was a lady lying on the floor, and we were just standing back. No one was, she'd been prayed for, but the power of God was upon her, and you could hear all of her joints cracking. She'd had she was actually a pastor, but she'd had severe back problems for a long time, and it was like this, it was like the heavenly chiropractor working on her back, and you could actually hear the sounds of bones and joints coming back into place, and she was completely healed there and there in that service. And there was another gentleman that came one night, and he was about 80-something years old. And he came in, a friend brought him, and he was leaning heavily on a stick, and he was really struggling to walk, and his ankle, knee, and hip in one side, on his right side, were all severely damaged with arthritis. And, you know, even the slightest step into a room was really hard for him to move into the room. And we said, and in this healing ministry, it's just three of us praying for this guy. There's no real hype or anything. And so we just said, can we pray for your ankle? He was actually a guy who'd been a church attender all his life. He was like attended an Anglican church, and this friend brought him. And he said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we prayed for his ankle, and you could feel the heat around his ankle as we prayed. And after we prayed, we said, oh, can you test your ankle? And he started to move it and everything, and it was just working sort of back to normal. He was just amazed. He couldn't believe it, that all this pain had gone out of his ankle. He could actually move it. So he said, oh, is it okay if we pray for your knee? And he was a lot more enthusiastic than when we asked if we could pray for his ankle. And he said yes, and we prayed for his knee, and God immediately healed his knee. And he was just astounded. And then we said, well, can we pray for your hip? And, yeah, yeah, you can pray for my hip. So we prayed for his hip, and God instantly healed his hip. And so then we said, and this is really the point, isn't it? Then we said, oh, have you ever invited Jesus into your life? You know that this is Jesus who's healed you, yes? Have you ever invited Jesus into your life? He's a guy who'd been attending church for probably 60 or 70 years. No, 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 he'd never heard about that. He'd never heard that you could invite Jesus into your life. So then, it says in Romans that it's God's goodness that leads us to repentance, or his kindness. God's kindness leads us to repentance. He tasted the kindness, the goodness of God that night. Do you want to give your life to Jesus? Oh, yes, yes, I'd love to give my life to Jesus. So we led him to the Lord, and he walked out of that building, you know, carrying this cane in the air that he'd been leaning on so heavily when he walked in. And he was completely healed, and he'd committed his life to Jesus, and he went home full of joy. So I just wanted to share a few things about like a journey into healing, if you like, based around three words: believe it, see it, do it. So how do we actually break in to a place where we can see God heal the sick in our life? Because Jesus said in John 14, verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And Jesus in that passage in John 14 is talking about, you know, the miracles, and Philip's asking him about all that stuff. Might go into that scripture a bit more deeply another time. But Jesus actually said in several places, in many ways, that this ministry of healing was not constricted just to his 3.5 years on the earth, but he was inaugurating God's kingdom. And this good news of the kingdom that he was preaching would be preached in all nations, and then the end would come. So he initiated this process whereby we can lay hands on the sick and pray in other ways and see people healed. And so there's a call of God, a call of the Holy Spirit to involve ourselves in the process of bringing healing to our world. I remember when I was first saved, and I was just in 1985, and really just coincidentally, God deals with everyone differently. Really, the night I got saved, really powerfully touched by the Holy Spirit, and just sort of radically changed in so many ways about life. And the first book that I ever got given to read as a Christian was a book called Smith Wigglesworth, Apostle of Faith. Has anyone ever read that book or heard of that book? This was a guy in, like 100 years ago, he was like a pioneer in the healing movement, and God like used him to do so many dramatic healings. Healings like are in the Gospels. And, you know, including people raised from the dead. And he would go into a meeting, have these massive meetings, he'd travel all over the world. His healing ministry really started when he was 57 and went on into his 80s. And he would travel around and he would have, you know, these halls would be packed out, and he would stand up on the platform and he would say, the first person who comes up here will get healed. He was so confident in God's healing power. He's so confident to pray for anybody that it was Jesus' purpose to bring healing. And this is really quite confronting because to many people, because through not experiencing and seeing healing, we can develop so many reasons why God doesn't heal. You know, it's because of some hidden sin, or it's not enough faith, or it's like Paul's thorn, or all of these arguments that you hear as to why God doesn't heal. But this guy had broken through into this realm like a pioneer in the first half of last century, as God is restoring healing, the ministry of healing to the body of Christ. And then, you know, we didn't have YouTube, of course, in the 1980s, but we had the reel-to-reel VHS videos. Who remembers them? And, you know, you get these videos from places like, for example, Africa, where a guy called Reinhard Bonnke used to have, anyone's heard of him, but he used to have these massive healing crusades. He had a sound system that could address a million people in one meeting, like just this sea of people, like it's huge. And, you know, he was seeing, like, you know, blind eyes opened instantly, crutches going everywhere, people coming out of wheelchairs, and he's preaching the most simple message about Jesus. Who Jesus is, what he's accomplished, and his love for people. And his message is accompanied by these dramatic signs and wonders of people's lives being radically changed. And there's all these other people in the middle of the 20th century that sort of broke into this realm. There was another guy called Charles Price who ran these healing meetings, and you know, they said in the meetings that he held in Vancouver in Canada, they used to, after his meetings, this sounds a bit whatever, but they used to sweep tumors off the stage. There were so many people healed of cancer, and the tumors would just be dropped on the ground. So as God's power just entered the room. When we go into the Gospels, we see Jesus' willingness to heal is just shown in so many ways. You know, from the leper in Mark chapter 1, who just comes to him and says, if you're willing, you can make me whole. He didn't have a question about Jesus' capacity to heal, but he had a question about his willingness to heal. Did Jesus really love him? Did God really love him? Did God really care? And Jesus says, I'm willing. Be clean. And, you know, maybe you need healing in your body or your emotions or your life in some way. And we have this wrestle, is God really willing? Does he really care? I mean, he's obviously got the power, but does he care about you? Does he care about me? Yet when Jesus went around, he, you know, in different places where he ministered to multitudes, the Gospels repeatedly say that he healed all who were there. It was indiscriminate because he was bringing this manifestation of God's kingdom. And so through the process of like reading the Gospels over and over again as a new Christian and reading these books about these pioneers of healing ministry and watching these videos and just praying, I mean, I was like this person who completely believed that healing was for today. You know, some people believe healing is not for today. Some people believe healing is for today, but they don't see God heal. And some people believe healing is for today, and they do see God heal. And of those who do see God heal, some see God heal sort of occasionally now and then, and other people see God heal like continuously, sort of all the time in their ministry. And so there's these different places that we can be in. And there was a guy who got healed in a training seminar that we were doing 3 or 4 years ago. And he was about 70, and he had had industrial deafness or tinnitus, you know, that ringing in the ears all the time for like 30 or 40 years. And he was just sitting in this seminar, and God healed him. I'm not sure anyone even prayed for him. Because, you know, God sometimes just confirms his word, doesn't he? And he was healed. And he got up and he gave his testimony and he said, look, he said, I've been a Christian all my life. He said, we've attended church like our whole family, like we're right in the word. And, he just lifted up his Bible as he was giving his testimony. He said, oh, but we only believe part of the message. And he said, in the last 2 or 3 years, he said, God's just been showing us his goodness, showing us his love, showing us how much he cares about people and how much his power is available to transform people's lives. So, you know, we can be in any of these sort of spaces that, you know, and he had come from that space where God doesn't heal today. That was just for that little short season in the New Testament. And he sort of moved into this space where, oh, God does heal today. But he'd never seen it. And then he moved into this third space where God does heal today, and he did see it and he did experience it. And he was extremely excited about it. So I used to live in Coffs Harbour, and I was reading all these books and watching all these videos with, you know, all the young people in the church, and Just, you know, saying, I used to go down the beach every night after work and walk along the beach and say, God, I just want to see your healing power. I don't want to just know about it. I want to experience it. And it's like Gideon, you know, he said to the angel of the Lord, you know, where are all the miracles that our father told us about? Has anyone ever felt like that? Like, God, where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? Where are all the miracles, you know, that we read about? Why is it always a miracle that happened in Africa or China or somewhere else? But you know, why aren't we experiencing God's healing power in the here and now? And so, the first step of the journey is to believe it. To believe, hey, God is a healer. Jesus came to bring healing into our world. Healing is part of the ministry of the church and the mission of the church, and we can be involved in it. So that was the first step. Then the second step is to see it. Because very frustrating to believe it and not see it. Who believes things they've never seen in one way or another and go, I believe it, I just want to see it. So I then got involved in this missions organization, and part of our training school was that we went to this healing meeting that was being conducted in Taree, New South Wales, in a high school there. There was an Australian evangelist called Stuart Gremenz, who had this huge ministry in India. He used to go over there and do all these crusades, see amazing miracles take place. But he was running these meetings in Australia, and we went along sort of as an excursion from our ministry school to this meeting that he was having is like a, you know, a large high school hall, pretty well packed out. And he got up and I don't know what he preached about, I can't remember, but something about healing. And then he said, everyone with a bad back come out for prayer. So invited every person with a bad back to come out to be prayed for healing. And so it turns out that across the front of this hall, which was wider than this, there's just this row, maybe, you know, 40 people who were standing there. You can always find a lot of people with bad backs. But then he said, I want one of your friends to pray for you. So if you've got a friend up there with a bad back, it's gone out, you know, you go up, you'd be the one who prays with them. And so I'd gone out because I had a bad back, because I've been working in building and probably lifted stuff that was too heavy, and I had a bad back, a sore back. So I was out there, and then they put all these chairs across the front of the hall, and everyone with a bad back was sitting on a chair with their legs sticking out. And sometimes if your pelvis is twisted, you're like, one leg can appear longer than the other. Not that it actually is, but because things are twisted in your body. So it's a bit comical. Like, he's got 40 people sitting on chairs with their legs sticking out, and then 40 other people holding them up and seeing, you know, if they're the same leg. So one of my legs looked about, you know, this much longer than the other. And then this guy, Stuart Grimenz, this evangelist, he prayed this prayer. And, you know, if you read in the scriptures where the way Jesus prays, you know, like, it's so incredibly short. Like, we pray so incredibly long. And the worst the problem is, like, we tend to pray longer and have, you know, and so on. But, you know, Jesus would pray, you know, stretch out your hand or stand up and walk. That's the end of it. And so he prays this prayer like it's half a sentence. You know, all bad backs be healed in Jesus' name. That's all he did. But when he said it, I felt in my back this heat. All the pain went out of my back and my leg just went zzz. And I stood up and it was like there was something stuck to under one shoe. Like, I'd probably been walking lopsided for ages, and like my whole body was straightened up. All the pain had gone out of my back, like this massive peace of God and this real tangible heat in my back. And, you know, I went home to where we were staying. I was just lying there. I was just so excited. Because this healing power, you know, that I believed in and read about and watched videos about and wanted to see, like, I'd gone to this meeting and God had touched me, and like, now this was just completely real, which is very exciting. And so that's seeing it. So believe it, see it. But I wasn't just content to see it, because I wanted to do it. Who wants to do it? Who wants to pray for people and when you lay hands on them and pray, they actually get healed? That's what Jesus said we do, right? So God, I want to see this. I want to do it. So anyway, we in our missions organization, we used to do all these trips to different countries, and I used to go on these trips, take teams to the Philippines, and the thing was, in the 1980s, there was a healing revival in the Philippines, and it was just crazy, because, you know, the nation was in upheaval politically, and people were just crying out to God, and in the midst of that, he just did these such amazing stuff, and people getting healed. There was this guy who was the head of a cult called Iglesia Ni Cristo, and which means Church of Christ, actually, in Spanish, but it wasn't the Church of Christ, it was like a cult. And they used to build these huge palatial churches in the middle of these slums and just, you know, taking everyone's last cent, so to speak. And there was this guy who was one of the top three leaders of this cult, and he was dying of cancer, and someone witnessed to him and prayed for him, and he got healed. So he left this church, he left this cult, and he joined just a normal church, and which had about 200 members. And he went on the radio, and because he had the profile to get on the radio, and he started to give his testimony on the radio how God had healed him. And he said, just to give his testimony, then he'd say, if you've got pain in your body or you've got some sickness, put one hand on the part of your body that needs healing, put the other hand on the radio, and I'm going to pray for you. And he said, if you get healed, come to our church on Sunday and tell us what happened. And so this church grows from like 200 people to 25,000 people, in a couple of years, it just exploded with all of this healing. And we, as brand new Christians, like just starting out in ministry, like I'm some, 20-something years old and don't know much, but just get dropped into this thing and just every time we went and did ministry, every time we preached, every time we prayed for people, like people just got healed all the time. And it was just so exciting. And I remember one night I was doing this, we were in this village, it's completely dark, I think they had this one little light bulb about 20 watts hanging out of a tree, and you know, you could stand up there, under there, but still not really be able to read your Bible, and there's people out there in the darkness that you can't see, that was just talking. So I do my message, and I just had this feeling that there was, somebody had something wrong with their neck. And, you know, this is like God sometimes gives these, like, words of knowledge that you suddenly know something that you couldn't have known in naturally, because it's completely dark out there. But anyway, I said this, and this girl came out, and she had this goiter on her neck, which is like this, almost the size of a tennis ball. It's like this huge swelling growing out the side of her neck. And when we teach people about praying for the sick, we always say, like, keep your eyes open when you pray so you can see what's happening. But I didn't know that. So I shut my eyes and I prayed for this girl. She's like, 15 or 16 years old. And I closed my eyes, prayed she got healed, I opened my eyes and it was gone. Just like that. This huge lump had just disappeared off the side of her neck. In 1 second or 1 millisecond. I don't know. It just wasn't there anymore. And like we were seeing this all the time. So this is going from like believing it to seeing it to doing it. Because Jesus said that, you know, we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So now, like, we're praying for people to get healed. And, you know, we'd go coming from Australia, coming from this place where, you know, there wasn't really a move of healing. There wasn't really that much happening. So we'd pray for people and go, oh, are you healed? And they'd go, yeah. Like, they just assumed that as soon as someone prayed for them, they would get healed. That was like what was just going on in that environment at the time. And so I remember this thing that my first pastor told me, you know, back in Coffs Harbour when I was a new Christian, and he said to me, there's a certain atmosphere where healing takes place. So, no, certain atmosphere where healing takes place. And of course, we call this atmosphere, like sometimes we call it revival, or we call it like the inbreaking of God's, or we call it like the presence of the Holy Spirit. But there's like this contrast, because we would go to, in these teams, like we'd go to the Philippines and preach in these churches, or just go out on the street and someone would play a guitar and people would gather and we'd just preach about Jesus and Jesus' love and Jesus' healing power, and we'd start pray for people and all of this healing would just break out. Of course, there was desperation there because they didn't have Medicare and Social Security and couldn't afford doctors. So there's an added level of desperation in the way they seek God, because if God doesn't move, they're in serious trouble. Whereas, you know, we can often have our, you know, Western support system, which is awesome, but it can sometimes stop us being so desperate in prayer, because if God doesn't heal, you know, I can go to the hospital anyway. They don't have that option. But then we'd come back here and we'd be the same people preaching the same messages that we preached over there, and nothing would happen. Same people, same message, same Bible, same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same good news of God's kingdom. Everything's exactly the same. And over here, people would say, well, you know, they've got hidden sin, or they don't have enough faith, or, it's Paul's thorn, or God sent them that thing to teach them a lesson. And when they teach the lesson, they don't even know what the lesson is. But when they learn the lesson, then they'll get healed. Well, they've got some secret sin, but they've got no conviction about it. They don't have the clue, but they must have secret sin because they're not getting healed. And it'd be all of these different ways to explain away why God wasn't healing. Which is fair enough, because we always look for reasons why things aren't happening. But then you'd go over there and everyone would get healed. And sure, there's people in those groups that had secret sin and not enough faith and doubts and, you know, all this stuff going on in their world, but they would get healed in this atmosphere of revival, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this inbreaking of God's kingdom into their world. And so we came to, you know, through this process to see, hey, This is all about Jesus. It's all about His presence. It's all about Him wanting to do the thing He came for, is to touch lives, bring people out of bondage, set people free. And so more recently, like maybe it's 15 years ago now, but we started doing this ministry. We used to have this guy used to come to our church in Coffs Harbour from Wales, and he was really, really old, and he'd actually known this guy, Smith Wigglesworth, I mentioned, and he'd seen, you know, this really early pioneering into healing as God restored healing ministry to the church. And he used to have these funny sayings, but you know, he was probably 80 years old, but he'd say, you know, the day of the one-man show is over, and the day of the one-man show is about to begin. And what he meant by that was, you know, there were these healing ministries, and they were like a one-man show. And you were only going to get healed if this, you know, superstar evangelist came from America or somewhere else. And then he said, like, God's moving away from that. And there's a transition going on. And the day of the one-man show is about to begin. It's the day the whole body of Christ is going to get activated and healing is going to become normal. He was prophesying this like in the 1980s. And this is what has happened. Particularly in the last 20 years in Australia, there has been this shift completely going on across all denominations where anyone is hungry and wants to get involved and be part of what God is doing. Is that healing is no longer just the, you know, sort of the preserve of the superstar evangelist that comes from somewhere else for special meetings, and you have to wait till they come, and, you know, hope that when they come, you know, all the ducks line up and you get healed. Now, all over Australia, all over the Western world, little groups of people are praying for the sick, and a crazy, amazing miracles are taking place. And the people that are praying aren't superstars. They aren't like anything particularly amazing. They're going to work 5 days a week, but just believing that Jesus is a healer because these pioneers have demonstrated this and broken the church into this place, sort of led the way so we can all participate. So now, it's so much easier to get people healed than it was 100 years ago. That took like these incredible people to break through into this realm. But now it's like it's broken into. And we can step into it and just start to participate in what God is doing and make it part of our outreach and part of our ministry to one another. And just to believe that, you know, Jesus is a healer. He's here. And we should expect him to be who he is and do what he does when we pray for people. So why don't we just pray?